ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 टू 21 सो विल रीड टेक्स्ट नंबर 19 एंड देन आई विल रीड द ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट फॉर द रिमेनिंग वर्सेस टेक्स्ट 19 तस्माद् असक्त सततम् कार्यं कर्म समाचर असक्तो हि आचरन् कर्म परम आप्नोति पुरुषः ट्रांसलेशन देयरफॉर विदाउट बीइंग अटैच्ड टू द फ्रूट्स ऑफ एक्टिविटीज वन शुड एक्ट एज अ मैटर ऑफ ड्यूटी For by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. Purport. The Supreme is the personality of Godhead for the devotees and liberation for the impersonalists. A person therefore acting for Krishna or in Krishna consciousness under proper guidance and without attachment to the result of the work is certainly making progress towards the Supreme goal of life. Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna because Krishna wanted him to fight. To be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment. But to act on behalf of the Supreme is to act without attachment for the result. That is perfect action of the highest degree recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Vedic rituals like prescribed sacrifices are performed for purification of impious activities that were performed in the field of sense gratification. But action in Krishna consciousness is transcendental to the reaction of good or evil work. A Krishna conscious person has no attachment for the result, but acts on behalf of Krishna alone. He engages in all kinds of activities, but is completely non-attached. Translation to text number 20. Kings such as Janak attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. Purport to it. Kings like Janak were all self-realized souls. Consequently, they had no obligation to perform the prescribed duties in the Vedas. Nonetheless, they performed all prescribed activities just to set examples for the people in general. Janak was the father of Sita and father-in-law of Lord Sri Ram. Being a great devotee of the Lord, he was transcendently situated. But because he was the king of Mithila, a subdivision of Bihar province in India, he had to teach his subjects how to perform prescribed duties. Lord Krishna and Arjuna, the Lord's eternal friend, had no need to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra, but they fought to teach people in general that violence is also necessary in a situation where good arguments fail. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, every effort was made to avoid the war, even by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the other party was determined to fight. So for such a right cause, there is necessity for fighting. Although one is situated in Krishna consciousness may not have any interest in the world, he still works to teach the public how to live and how to act. Experienced persons in Krishna consciousness can act in such a way that others will follow. And this is explained in the following verse, text number 21. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. Purport. People in general always require a leader who can teach the public by practical behavior. A leader cannot teach the public to stop smoking if he himself smokes. Lord Chaitanya said that a teacher should have behaved properly before he begins teaching. One who teaches in that way is called Acharya or the ideal teacher. Therefore, a teacher must follow the principles of Shastra to teach the common man. The teacher cannot manufacture rules against the principles of revealed scriptures. The revealed scriptures like Manu Samhita and similar others are considered the standard books to be followed by the human society. Thus, the leader's teaching should be based on the principles of such standard shastras. One who desires to improve himself must follow the standard rules as they are practiced by the great teachers. The Srimad Bhagavatam also affirms that one should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and that is the way of progress on the path of spiritual realization. The king or the executive head of the state, father, and the school teacher are all considered to be natural leaders of the innocent people in general. All such natural leaders have a great responsibility to their dependents. Therefore, they must be conversant with standard books of moral and spiritual codes. Nama Om. So, continuing our discussion on this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita entitled Karma Yoga. So, in this chapter, where Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna to fight again, but this time, in this chapter, the basis for Krishna trying to convince Arjuna is just do it as a matter of duty without being attached to the result. Because I want it, you have to fight. Don't consider what the result will be. And the basis of all our activities is the result. We like to do something, if the result is good, and if the result is bad, we don't do it. If it is not according to our consideration, not according to our plans. Arjuna did not want to fight, but Krishna wanted him to fight. Even though Arjuna may give hundreds of reasons, but Krishna has to say, no, I don't accept any of your reasons, and you have to fight. But in the second chapter also he began with that. But in third chapter, Krishna is trying to elevate Arjuna's understanding for the basis of fighting. And what is that? Fight. Because Arjuna, one of the reasons for which Arjuna was not ready to fight is, he will be bound by the sinful reactions for killing his relatives, friends, teachers, and all his associates. But Krishna is trying to convince him that if you fight for me, you will not be bound by any reaction. And that is the way he should fight. And by doing so, his activity of fighting will be an offering to Krishna, to himself. And that is the basis of Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means a normal person, when he performs any activities as a service to the Lord, and whatever results he may get, whether it may be good, whether it may be bad, or whatever it comes, he just offers it to Krishna, that this is what you wanted me to do, I just became your instrument, and whatever result I am achieved, it is not mine, it is yours. This is the first stage of a person trying to elevate himself on the yoga ladder. Otherwise, if this basic understanding is not there, that every activity should be done as an offering to Krishna, as the Supreme Lord, then there is no chance for a person to elevate higher and higher. Because the principle of God has to be there in everyone's activities. Because if that principle does not come, then the principle of Maya enters. And what is that? Considering oneself to be the doer of activities and considering oneself to be responsible or the enjoyer of that results which come in the course of that activity. And that is, the result is a motivating factor for every individual to perform his activity. But Krishna does not want Arjuna to get restricted or to deny to do some service based on the result. He just wants him to do it. Whatever results if they will come, I am ready to accept it. Result is not your consideration. Your consideration is work. Just offer it. And result is my consideration. You don't think whether I will like it or not like it. You have to do it for my pleasure. And this is the basis of Karma Yoga, which Krishna is trying to convince. And in this text 19, he's telling that only when a person, the result, because every person is attached to results. When we know the result, then that motivates any person or us to engage in some activity. So here Krishna is trying to convince that what would be a result of a person who works without being attached to the result of his activity. So he says, therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the Supreme. So that is the result. That is a motivating factor for Arjuna. Because ultimately, at the end, whatever you may do, you should ultimately, your activities or your life track should lead you to a destination where you attain the supreme goal of life. So if that is the goal, and if Arjuna is desiring that, then Krishna is saying this is one of the way for you to do it. If you try to run away from the fight, which Arjuna was doing, which was not ready, you may run away, thinking that you may save the lives of so many people, 64 crores of people, those who are assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But the net result will be, you won't attain the supreme goal of your life. And which is most important. Every person, whatever activities he may do in life, but if that activity ultimately does not lead him attaining the supreme goal of life, then everything is a waste. And that is what Bhagavatam says. Shrama eva hi kevalam. It's of no use. So Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna, just do your activity without attachment, the result will be you will attain the supreme. And then in the following verse, and Prabhupada explains in that purport that Arjuna is told that he should fight in the battle of Kurukshetra for the interest of Krishna, because Krishna wanted him to fight. And the very beautiful statement which Prabhupada makes, to be a good man or a non-violent man is a personal attachment, but to act on behalf of Supreme is to act without attachment to the result. If you think of the result, then what you are thinking of your own self. But if you are not attached to the result, then that same activity becomes an offering to the Supreme Lord. Very powerful statement. Without being attached to the results. That is the perfect action of the highest degree recommended by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This is the first basis which Krishna is trying to establish. And the second stage which comes after a person is ready, is willing to perform his activities in a goal of trying to get the ultimate goal of life, to attain the Supreme, and why he has to do. So Krishna is giving examples also. It is not that I am wanting you to do. It is my desire. This has been done. This same practice has been followed by the great personalities in the previous history also. So normally if you want to do something, if you want to enter some college, to know the status of the college, what do? We find out that how many students have passed out from that college. What is the level of the professors? How many professors are, how many teachers are there? How many have passed or how many got the degree? And then that is a motivating factor for us. If I take admission in this college, will I complete my education? Will I get proper placements? 100 people joined last year, and out of that 100 out of 100 were placed in best companies. That is a motivating factor. So here Krishna is giving an example. It is not that you are the first person to do these activities as an offering to me. He says, kings such as Janak attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work. So in the process of doing such an activity, of trying to do it as an offering to Krishna, you will attain the supreme goal of your life. But in that process, as a byproduct of that, which is most essential as long as you are alive, you will set an example for others to follow. Because if you want others also to attain the Supreme, then you have to be an exemplary. And behave or act in such a way that at the end you are benefited, and the entire mass, entire population, considering you as a role model, following your path, will also attain the same destination. And that is a perfect combination. That is a perfect way to help everyone. You get liberated, you go on that path, and along with you, you also take others. And this is the simple formula which Krishna is trying to explain to Arjuna. You follow first. And Janak also did. King Janak, even though he is such an elevated devotee, he is one of the 12 Mahajans. And the characteristic feature of any elevated devotee who is beyond his modes of material nature, there is no need for him to follow any prescribed duties. He is not bound by the modes of material nature. He is completely beyond the influence of material energy. Completely beyond the influence of three modes, but still he performs prescribed duties, which is not at all required for him, whether he does or whether he does not do that activity. He is liberated in any state. At the end, it is sure that he is going back to Godhead. But then what is the driving force, motivating force for him to behave like a common man, to engage in all the prescribed duties, rules and regulations? Why he has to do? So therefore, the only reason for any great person to follow or to do the prescribed duties so that he sets an example for others to follow. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Sundar Gopal Krishna. So King Janak, even though he was realized, self-realized, even though there was no need for him to do anything, he was practicing this principle of working without attachment, offering the fruits of one's activities to the Supreme Lord. And then in the following verse, the most important verse, most often quoted, and which is the important verse, not only for the devotees, but even for outside people also. Yad yad asharati shreshtas, tat tat eve tarojana, sayat pramana kurute, loka sat anuvartate. Just whatever action a great man performs, common man follow. And whatever standard he sets by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So this is what we see in this today's world. Each and every one of our life is molded on this principle. Whether we are devotees or whether we are not devotees, outside also. Our every action, our every way of talking, our behavior, our dressing code, our walking style, talking style, eating style, everything is influenced by others. Because right from childhood, we have been in the association of someone, whether it be parents, whether it be friends, neighbors, classmates, college mates, or any society. And especially the role models of the society in the material world. We tend to accept changes in life or accept new ways of living, new lifestyle, based on what? Based on what the role models of the society is doing. If tomorrow, if you see some hero wearing a certain pattern of clothes, what happens? Immediately that becomes the latest trend. And everyone, every student in the college or every man walking on the road will find him having the same type of clothes. If one person comes, if an actor comes with a strip of hair loss in the center of his forehead, what happens? You see all the college students going to the barber and telling him, trim my hair and remove one strip of, you know, hair from one line. They don't understand that what is the reason, what that hero in that movie has that line. But they say, no, that is, since that hero has, he looks very smart, so I will also look smart by having that strip on my hair. He has that French cut, so let me also have French cut. That becomes our style. This is our role models. So it is a great responsibility on the role models. To the way they behave, the way they talk, or whatever they do. Because that is directly going to influence the general mass of people. General mass are affected. Because that is a tendency. That is the nature of every living entity. To appreciate and to accept some qualities from our, what do you call, role models, or whom we appreciate more. That is the nature. To appreciate someone superior is the nature of the soul. Because we have been doing that. Every living entity, when he was in the spiritual world, the only activity which was doing is just appreciating Krishna's beauty, glorifying Krishna, and in that process of trying to appreciate Krishna's beauty, glorifying Krishna, what happens? Many devotees in that ecstasy behave like Krishna. They assume the same qualities as Krishna, the way they talk, the way they run around, exactly like Krishna. And that same soul, when it comes in this material world, because Krishna is not there, he's trying to serve someone else who can replace Krishna. And those personalities appear in our life as some politician, some hero, some professor, anyone. And that propensity is there in our hearts. And we want to follow it. We want to imitate it. And we try to do it. But we don't get that satisfaction, that pleasure. Because our role models keep on changing. And along with that role models, our fashion also changes. Our trend also changes. During our fathers, people used to wear bell bottom. Why? Because that time the heroes were wearing bell bottom. Now if somebody wears bell bottom, nobody will say, what is this? Did you have an extra cloth in your pants? Something like that. And now whatever fashion we may do, today's generation may do, the previous generation may not accept it. What is this? Initially they used to have nice jeans. But now they have jeans which is completely sliding down up to their back part of their body. If they see some hero wearing a certain brand of undergarments, college students, they also went to wear those things just to expose. And for that, they have these low-waist jeans. That is the fashion. At the cost of exposing their body, dirty body, they want to show, yes, yes, we are also fashionable. This is what is Yadyat Acharya Sister. But if we don't know whom to follow, what to follow and how to follow, then our life simply becomes miserable. It is not that only the role models are going to suffer, but even the people, those who are trying to follow him, they also suffer. Because when that role model sees that there are so many followers he has, he is also struggling, that hero is also struggling, that politician is also struggling, for what? To maintain his status. So that he can continue to be appreciated by the people, continue to be imitated by the people. And the imitators, they also want to imitate. So both of them ultimately fall down. Both of them ultimately in this material world. But with Krishna's beauty, it is ever increasing. There is a tough competition going on between Krishna and devotees. Both are trying to compete with each other, imitating each other. And that is an eternal process. And in that process, there is no frustration, because every time it is never, yavan, it is completely newer and new. And therefore that process goes on. Devotee is trying to please Krishna, Krishna is trying to please devotees. Both of them, tough competition is there. And it is ever increasing, continuously going on. So therefore, on the role models, the leaders of the society, which Prabhupada mentions, is a great responsibility on what they do. Where do they lead the people in general? Where do they lead their dependents? And therefore, every person who's in the role model, who has that status, that position in the society, should behave in such a way that common mass, who's seeing them as their goal, as their guide, are properly directed. That is what this verse and Parvat Prabhupada is trying to explain. And throughout the literatures, throughout the shastras, whether you take Bhagavatam or whether you take Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is only filled up with such personalities, such leaders, such role models who have just tried to set an example for others or for us to follow. Because in the process of trying to do, or in the process of trying to maintain that status of their activity, they know what they are going to achieve. Or in one sense, they have achieved also. They have got the result. And therefore, they want others also to achieve that result. And therefore, they are educating or directing the general mass to follow their path by their personal example, personal behavior. In Bhagavatam, every page or every pastime, whichever you take, there are so many personalities from beginning to end. All of them perfect role models. If we can just follow one of those personalities, our life can become perfect and we can go back home back to Godhead. Simple things, we just have to follow. Rather than following this mundane personalities of this material world and ultimately ending in frustration, if we can just follow such personalities, our life can be success. There are so many personalities which can be discussed, but one such personality which comes in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the descendants of Maharaj Bharat, and that is King Rantidev. He's a very beautiful personality and a wonderful pastime, and so many things to learn from it, and why society needs such leaders today as Maharaj Rantidev. We'll just try to discuss that briefly. So Maharaj Rantidev was such an exalted devotee and such a great king that he was not only worshipped by his people in this world, even demigods. Demigods would come and appreciate and sing his glories. So if demigods are singing somebody's glories, he cannot be an ordinary person. If people are worshipping him, people are singing his glories, then he cannot be an ordinary person. Such is the leader. And why? What makes Rantidev a personality to be discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam? Short description is there. Just few verses. But if we can just follow him, and this is what Bhagavatam at the end of that pastime gives, the benediction, that whoever can just follow him, the result of that is, will ultimately be liberated, just by following this person. So he says, Because Rantide perceived the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. Whoever would come to his house would never go empty, even at the cost of his own starving. He would see to it that every person who comes, whatever they need, they were supplied. And what was the basis? He was not just some social worker or philanthropist. That yes, let me provide whatever the people need, the suffering people need. His service attitude was not based on the body. His service attitude was based on that principle that every living entity is a part and parcel of Krishna, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is residing in the heart of every living entity. That was the principle on which he was working. And one such instance, once when he was fasting for 48 days with his family members, complete nirjal, and at the end of that fasting, he decided to break that fast the next morning after completing the 48 days. With his family member, he took some morsel of food, enough for his family members to eat, and some water to drink. All of them assembled to break the fast. But at that time, a Brahmana came. Brahmana came begging for food. And Rantidev, because he was perceiving Supreme Personality of God and seeing Paramatma within that person's heart, he could not refuse. And that was his nature. He just divided that food into two halves and gave one portion of that food to that Brahmana. And that Brahmana was satisfied and he left. And he began to eat the remaining food. But as soon as he began to eat, one more personality appeared there. And who was that? It was a Shudra. Seeing a Shudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Rantidev gave him a share of that food also. Whatever remaining, Rantidev gave that food to him. Imagine, now this is a person who has fasted for 48 days, not eaten anything, not drank anything. Now he could say, let me eat first, and later consider, others can consider later on. No. He just gave that food to that Shudra also. And the Shudra, being satisfied by the service provided by King Rantidev, he left. And when the Shudra went away, another guest arrived, surrounded by dogs, and he said that, O King, I and my company of dogs are very hungry. Please, give us something to eat. This was a request of that Shudra, that Chandala, who came with dogs, the dog eaters. And with great respect, very important word, if we are hungry, if somebody comes, we are very generous, we may say, okay, take half portion of my food. At least I will be satisfied with that half portion what I have. Rantidev had already divided half of his food with that first Brahmana. Whatever remaining was there, he gave it to the second guest. And little bit was remaining. And now comes the Shudra with his dogs. The Chandala with his dog. So normally, what will the person's mindset? First of all, it's fasting. When people fast, they get easily agitated. Little bit thing, provoking situation here and there, irritated. And what to speak of giving respect to someone. But Rantidev, being a devotee, was perfectly able to maintain his composure of his mind. Seeing every person as a representative of God, he offered full respects. Full respect even to such a low class person as the Chandala with the dogs. And with that full respect, King Rantidev offered the balance of food to the dogs and to that master of the dogs who had come with guests. The king offered all respects, and not only offering all respects, he offered obeisance also to that person. Imagine, it is not a common man's activity. With his whole heart, not externally pretending or imitating, okay, I am a devotee, so I want to set an example, I want to please you. No. What was inside was manifesting outside, offering full respects, and with great respect in the heart, he was properly serving even that Chandala. And now, there was no more food to eat. So Ramdidev was thinking, okay, at least to break fast, I have some water. So let me drink that water and break my fast. But meanwhile, as soon as he began or just took up that water pot to drink water, suddenly a person appeared, said, "O King, although I am lowborn, kindly give me some drinking water." "If no food, chalegan, it does not matter. Give me some drinking water." Now what will happen? Somebody else will just take a pot and throw on him or bang on his head. "What is this? Should I continue my fast? Continue my fast or what to do?" But hearing, because that person who came, that another chandar who came, he presented himself with such a pitiable condition that Ramdidev, hearing his words, he became aggrieved by his words. He was worried by seeing that condition of such a person. He was so thirsty, not able to drink water also. So aggrieved by hearing the pitiable words of that poor, fatigued chandala, Maharaj Ramdidev spoke nectarian words, sweet words. It is not that, "Take it." Here se aaya pata nahi, not allowing me to break my fast also. He started speaking sweetly, nectarian words. And what does he speak? Very beautiful. This represents the consciousness. This shows what is the consciousness of Ramdidev and what is the basis for his being such a devoted person, having such a wonderful service attitude. He is praying that, "I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay among all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf, so that they may be freed from suffering." Here is the compassionate nature of Ramdidev, the basis of which was his service. Because he had that compassion, he could not see any people suffering in this material world. He wanted that, "I do not want anything of this world. Let me just suffer so that they become free from that suffering and get freed from this miserable situation. And the same thing which Prabhupada writes in the purport, the same mood which in Chaitanya-charitamrita we see Vasudev Datta having that. "Let me suffer for the sins which all these people have committed. Let them go back to Godhead and let me rot here in this material world, or even may go to hell eternally forever. And let me suffer on their behalf." This is the compassion of Ramdidev. And by offering water to maintain the life of this poor chandala who is struggling to live, "I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation and illusion." So Ramdidev, just by serving others, was experiencing this freedom from lamentation, from moroseness, from trembling of the body, from distress and from illusion, from hunger. So service is the basic attitude. It is said, happiness comes not in being served. Happiness comes when you serve others. When you feed others, you get the benefit. The bliss of feeding others is much more than the bliss of eating your own self. It is very easy to cook for your own self and eat it. But the pleasure that comes for cooking, when you cook for others and to see others eating, and this is a characteristic of great devotees. Even during Mangal Arati also we sing, yes, Chaturvijam Vidha Sri Bhagavat Prasadu Swadana Triptam Hari Bhakta Sangam Triptaiva Tritim Bhajatam Sadeva Vande Guru Sri Charanarandam. When the spiritual master sees his disciples, his descendants, his dependents eating the food, which is the remnants of the food which was offered to Krishna, when they relish these 4 different types of food offered to Krishna, he becomes blissful. So King Ramdidev, when he saw this chandala who was literally fatigued because of thirst, when he saw that he has been satisfied by drinking water, that gave him ultimate satisfaction of heart. Even though at the cost of his own fasting, that one not has to forget. He has not drunk, he has not eaten for 48 days. Therefore, having spoken thus, King Ramdidev, although on the verge of death, because of thirst, gave up his own portion of water to the chandala without hesitation. For the king was naturally very kind and sober. He gave it up, that water. And immediately, as soon as he did his activity, he gave up that last thing which he had for his sustenance. He gave up that also. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, who can satisfy material ambitions of all the men by giving them the benedictions, whatever they desire, manifested themselves. Actually, this Brahmana, this Shudra who came, the Chandala who came, the dogs and all, they are all these demigods who had appeared in the court, in the house of Krantidev, just to test him. That what does he do? Whether he gives up, whether he continues to serve. Because to serve others, when you have enough, it is very easy. When you are satisfied, then to satisfy others is very easy. But when you are not satisfied, when you are struggling, when you are starving, when you are on the verge of death, at that stage if you try to serve others, give life to others, then that is more adorable, that is more worshipable. And that is what these demigods had appeared to test Rantidev. And Rantidev was successful in these attempts because he had completely pleased everyone. And King Rantidev had no ambition. Now he could ask, like Brahma and Lord Shiva appeared, he could have asked any prediction, but he did not ask anything from them. King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from the demigods. He offered them obeisances, but because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fixed his mind on Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. So he did not think, oh, now Lord Brahma has come, Lord Shiva has come, let me ask the ultimate desires, let they be fulfilled. No. Because he was a great devotee, whether he is in distress, or whether he gets, or whether he is put into such a situation where everything is available to him, in any state, whatever be the externals, his state of mind is completely fixed. Whether he is happy or distressful, his only goal of life is focusing himself on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And Rantidev was doing that. He did not ask, he just offered all respects to demigods. Thank you very much for coming. And he did not say, come on, give me so and so things. He just offered the obeisances and got back into his original constitutional position on meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. Without being affected, without being agitated by the presence of such bestowers of material benedictions. He was not at all agitated. He was not agitated when he was hungry, starving, on the verge of death. And at the same time, he was not agitated when he had opportunity to get whatever he desired. His mind was fixed, goal was fixed, that is meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu and Vasudev. Even though Vasudev was not there. Vasudev did not appear before him, but his mindset was fixed. And therefore, Maharaj Rantidev was such a great exemplary person. And Shukdev Goswami continues to narrate this pastime to Maharaj Parikshit, saying that because Rantidev was such a pure devotee, always remembering Krishna, being always Krishna conscious, and free from all material desires, the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, could not exhibit herself before him. Maya manifested, exhibited herself before him in the form of all these demigods. But because he was fixed on meditation, the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, Maya could not exhibit herself before him. On the contrary, for him, Maya entirely vanished, exactly like a dream. Maya completely disappeared before his eyes, exactly like a dream. When a person gets up, the dream is gone. So for him, to be affected by Maya was just like a dream, not being affected by anything. And therefore, why we are discussing this pastime? What is the connection of this verse with this pastime? Shukdev Goswami says that all those, because Rantidev was such an exemplary king, leading a life on such a purity, such high standards, what was the result of that? All those who followed the principles of King Rantidev, that is his people, his descendants, his dependents, all those who followed the principles of King Rantidev were actually favored by the mercy, by his mercy, and became pure devotees. So when you take shelter, when you try to imitate such great exalted personalities, you get their mercy. rather than trying to imitate the mundane personalities of this world. They got their mercy and they became pure devotees of the Lord, to the same level as Maharaj Rantidev. Rantidev was a pure devotee, and just by following him, just by being in the association, just by trying to imitate Rantidev, they also became pure devotees, attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Thus, they all became best of the yogis. And their life was successful. Otherwise, if we try to follow the people of this world, what do we get? Simply miseries, simply frustration. And that role model also goes to hell, and following him, you also go to hell. But when you follow such personalities as King Rantidev, who are the shrestas, who are the role models, and who are trying to become a role model such an exemplary way, his life was perfected. And because he maintained his life to such a high standard, those who saw him, those who tried to imitate him, they also became devotees and their life was also perfected. So what could be the best service apart from this? If every person individually, what to speak of collectively, every person individually can maintain a good standard of his devotional life, then that is the best preaching. Preaching is achar and prachar. Somebody preaches by speaking, but somebody preaches without speaking. How? By his own exemplary ways, by his achar, the way he behaves, the way he talks, the way he deals with other devotees. Just by seeing that, others' hearts are transformed, others are attracted towards that personality, and through him they are attracted to Krishna. Knowing that such personality, such qualities have come not by his own, but through the grace of Krishna. Because Krishna is there in his heart, he is manifesting these wonderful qualities. Such achar, beautiful achar. So let me also have it. And that person is motivated, that person is influenced, the person attracted towards Krishna, and he becomes a devotee. So it's not a big thing. People may say that to preach we have to have a lot of knowledge, we don't have that speaking abilities, communication skills and this and that. No. If you have, that is best. But if you don't have, at least if you can try to maintain our purity and maintain the regulated, the basic standards, what is required for a devotee to have, that much if you can have, then that is enough to attract people in general towards the lotus feet of Krishna. And they can also become, as this verse says, Narayana Parayana. They can also achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and go back home back to Godhead. So such is the responsibilities of role models in the society. So every devotee who has surrendered himself to Krishna is a role model for the outside world. Because outside world sees every devotee as something different. And therefore, the way we behave, the way we talk, and the way we deal with outsiders has a lot of impact on them. They may either get influenced, they may either get attracted towards our worshipful Lord, or they may get completely taken away from this whole process of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, highest responsibility goes to the leaders. So first, if anybody wants to become leader, then he has to follow such exemplary personalities as King Rantidev. Then one can become a leader. Otherwise one should not become leader. You can just remain in one corner chanting Hare Krishna, and that is best. At least we will not cause any harm to others. But if you are a leader, then you have to have these wonderful qualities, ready to give up yourself to others without considering your own self. Like Rantidev. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanand.